Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Good morning. Here's your daily reminder that people suck and you're going to get pissed off today. Don't cuss nobody out, don't fist fight, and don't go to jail. You got this, bitch. Good luck.
Whenever life gets you down, keeps you wearing a frown, and the gravy train has left you behind. And when you're all out of hope, down at the end of your rope, and nobody's there to throw you a line. If you ever get so low that you don't know which way to go, come on and take a walk in my shoes. Never worry about a thing, got the world on a string, 'cause I've got the cure for all of my blues.
All of his blues.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and the happy times are coming to stay.
Automate me into oblivion! Get it over with, tech overlords! Rip the band-aid off and give AI my job right now! I'm a stupid human with no marketable skills. It took me 12 years to complete basic schooling. I'm emotional, distracted, and I need lots of time to pee and poop. I need at least 3 hours a day to shove processed food into the noisiest hole in my body. The second I start work, I immediately think of being off work. I need to mildly poison myself every day to cope with the stress of 30 to 40 hours of moderate mental labor. I'll always ask for more money for doing the exact same amount of work. I can't model the future based on current analytics and trends. I can't comb millions of databases in 15 seconds. I can barely do long division with a pen and paper. Any small amount of productivity I have is immediately derailed if I see someone with a huge ass. I'd rather think up dumb little worlds in my head than be efficient or productive. I'm ready to go completely feral and uncontacted for decades until I'm killed in the wilderness by a natural disaster. Well, it's been a nice run for humanity.
Yo, you guys want to go get some D-E-S-S-E-R-T?
Yeah, dude, I need me a T-R-E-A-T.
What you guys talking about?
Yeah, why did you guys just spell dessert?
No, shut up, don't say it.
Why?
Oh, God, how do we tell you this?
Simon can't spell.
What?
He can't spell, so when we talk about something he wants, we spell it out loud so he doesn't get too excited.
He's a grown man. He can't handle hearing the word treat?
Treat?
No treat.
Treat?
No treat.
Treat?
No treat.
Aww. Okay, what is happening?
We told you, he gets excited when he hears the word T-R-E-A-T.
What you talking about?
Taxes.
Aw, shucks.
What, so you guys just treat him like a toddler?
Treat?
No treat.
Treat?
No treat.
Treat?
No treat.
Aww.
Dude, you gotta spell if you're talking about F-O-O-D.
Okay, so are we getting an S-N-A-C-K?
Snack?
Oh, come on,
oh,
man.
Dude, really?
Oh, come on, I spelled it.
Well, he knows how to spell snack.
So he can spell snack, but he can't spell treat?
Treat?
No treat.
Treat?
No treat.
Treat?
No treat.
God damn it.
Okay, he's getting fussy. It's time for an N-A-P.
Yeah.
What does N-A-P spell?
Party.
3, 2, 1 Watermelon nights are calling just as soon as ice starts thawing. Watermelon nights will be here, so sing along.
Want to make a lot of money, WB? This is what you do. Take Batman the Animated Series. Do that! Just do that in live action. Sold. Superman the Animated Series. Do that! Sold. Billion right there.
Mr. Freeze with the dome.
With the dome.
With the dome.
With the dome.
Give me a guy with a puppet who's scary as
Give me a racial ambiguous Lex Luthor.
Right.
I don't know what he is.
No one knows. No one knows what he is.
We don't know what he is. Got a black voice. He's white, but got big lips. I don't know what he is. But do that. Do that. Take the storylines from it if you want to, and we would love it. That seems simple enough to me. Does that seem simple enough to y'all?
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that?
Give me a guy.
Easy.
Who's made of clay.
Easy.
He's made of clay.
He's made of clay.
No, not he got disfigured in an accident.
No.
He's made of clay.
Clay.
His name's Clayface.
It's Clayface.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic. It's fantastic. You can brush my hair. undress me everywhere. Oh, come on, Barbie, let's go party, 'cause I'm in a Barbie world.
Oh, man, what a great time we're just having right now.
What's your sign?
I think I'm like a Virgo or something.
Cool, I'm an asshole.
What do you mean?
I'm an asshole, October 10th.
The fuck? I don't think that's a thing.
No, it is. I'm a straight up asshole.
Those aren't including the astrological signs.
What astrological signs are you looking at, bro?
The real ones?
Riley, what are you again?
I'm a piece of shit.
That's right.
Hold on, stop. Are you guys fucking with me right now?
No, that'd be Lainey. She's a fucking with you.
That's me.
What happened to Leo? Cancer.
Whoa, man. Leo hasn't told everybody about
that. Yeah, man, it's kind of not your place to tell everyone about
I'm talking about the astrological signs, like Scorpio or Virgo.
Hold up. When's your birthday?
September 22nd.
Oh. You're a dumbass.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
From Filthy Martini Studios in Ontario, California, it's the Fubar Show!
Hey, what is up, everyone? I am JC.
And I'm Steph.
Thank you all so very much for listening to the Fubar Show. And a special thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow foos. Remember to pick up some swag at foobarshow.com. That's foobarshow.com. And follow foobarshow on all of our socials. And we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. Ain't that right, Steph?
That's correct.
Steph, I'm pretty excited for today's show. You want to know why?
Why?
Because there's a new munchie meal going down at Jack in the Box. Have you heard?
Excuse me?
Excuse me. I think for the longest time, Jack in the Box has really leaned into what they're about. And that's stoners. And I think the munchie meal has really cemented their place in the stoner world. Ever since it was dropped, we've had munchie meals now for almost, is it fair to say like 10 years or are we not there yet?
I want to say it's within 10 years.
Yeah, something like that, right? So now they have partnered up with Snoop Dogg and he has his own munchie meal. It's Welcome to Dog in the Box, playa. Is the tagline here. And Jack in the Box has announced the opening of a limited time Snoopified restaurant location in celebration of the brand's latest partnership with him. He's obviously famously the king of late nights. And if you thought that the iconic Snoop's Munchie Meal was the only way he was partnering with Jack in the Box, the restaurant that never sleeps, you were wrong, Steph. The two California legends are just getting started, that being Jack in the Box and Snoop Dogg, because he just released an exclusive Snoopadelic shake. It's a thick and creamy vanilla shake blended with orange juice and finished with whipped topping and a cherry.
That sounds delicious.
And then the munchie mix, which is like the munchie meal, I would imagine, is drop it like it's hot. To some, let's see, has curly fries. All right. Well, it has a bunch of cool shit in it, but this particular...
You know, I really like the names of those.
Yeah. Maybe if I go to jackinthebox.com, it'll tell me exactly.
So the Munchie Meal first came out in September 2013.
Almost 10 years.
So almost 10 years.
Dang. All right. So what can you see here? It looks like a hoagie. What is that? It's a hot dog?
That's a hot dog.
What the fuck? And of course the tacos. It's got the curly fries, a brownie, and then a drink of your choice. But why wouldn't you choose the shake?
Right.
Yeah. So that's gonna serve a purpose, obviously, in those late nights when you're just hotboxing your car.
And you know what? It's affordable.
Yeah.
Jack in the Box literally has everything you need in one stop.
Mm-hmm.
You want tacos at 3 a.m.?
Done. Got them.
You want a shake? Done.
Yeah.
Curly fries? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Will you get shamed for just wanting a simple salad? No.
No.
You can get one of those too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you drench it in barbecue sauce for absolutely no reason?
Of
course.
Absolutely.
Did you know that they have now, it's been a few years now, but they have more sauces than when they used to. Like they have like honey mustard. They have a bunch of like new sauces that didn't really exist in their lineup about 10 years ago. At least when I used to work there, and we're talking like the early 2000s when I used to work there. It was my first job. It was awesome because I could just create shit. I was making Munchie Meals-esque types of meals when I used to work there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then like a few years later, they actually came out with one. You know, they leaned into it.
Yeah.
What are you looking at there, Steph?
Well, we couldn't figure out if that was a hot dog, but it's a spicy sauced and loaded chicken sandwich.
Holy shit.
Crunchy taco, medium curly fries, a baked brownie, Sprite, or a drink of your choice.
Wow.
So it's just, I think it's automatically set with Sprite.
Right.
Unless you want something else.
This has already topped a lot of the partnerships with rap artists that McDonald's tried. Remember when they tried it with Travis Scott?
Oh, yeah.
The Travis Scott meal, and it was just like something lame. Like it was just really a Big Mac with something else,
and
right?
He didn't like it, right? And then he moved to, what was it, Arby's? Or the other way, or the other way around?
I have no idea.
We talked about this.
No, that wasn't Travis Scott. That was somebody else. But yes.
Yeah.
A lot of these. But I think this one takes the cake.
$14.
Okay.
$14.
Okay. I mean, with today's economy, that's
average price.
Rather reasonable. And it's Snoop.
Snoop.
Snoop and Jack. Fucking, you think Jack, the actual human in that costume, like, smokes out? In that big giant head, like he can hotbox it.
He probably has one at home and does it, but while he's at work, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, when he's in the corporate setting, I guess.
Huh? Exactly.
Yeah.
It's too much, you know, responsibility in that role.
Steph, how have you been?
Okay, just as acid reflux is killing me. We've been doing a lot of drinky drinks.
Well, last week we didn't have a show. That wasn't planned, but we were just exhausted from the previous day. We normally record these things on Sundays because we just do. And there's no time on Fridays, Saturdays, or anything else. But we did a bartending gig for the Foo's mom's retirement party at the Foo's uncle's pad. And it was lots of fun, man. You know, she paid us what we asked for the gig, and then she gave us a shitload of money to buy the alcohol, which we came right at budget with everything.
Yeah, and actually worked. It worked out.
Yeah, like there was very little left over, maybe one bottle of everything left over for them to just keep.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, everybody was pretty cool with you know, generous tipping and having a great time. I was getting drunk with everybody else as well.
He was drinking on the job. Fire this man.
I was allowed to do so by no one, really. But nobody was saying anything. Man, I was keeping the party going is what I was doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, and also, we were trying the drinks that we, quote unquote, created because we wanted to get the ratios right for everybody.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure about one of the drinks. I think it was like the Purple Rain.
Purple Rain.
And I was just like, well, just make it as you usually do, which was...
It was vodka.
Vodka.
Blue Curacao, grenadine, and...
Lime juice.
And lime juice.
And so when you mix everything, it's purple.
Right.
The blue and the red.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know your color wheel.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Purple. Anyway, that's a really sweet drink because we're not used to drinking like those sweet fruity drinks anymore. It's just, you know, either beer or straight whiskey.
I'm surprised we're alive today. Yesterday we went to a tequila party where it was just, I thought it was going to be like, yeah, you get to taste the tequilas and then you get to make a cocktail out of them. That wasn't the case. Everybody was just having shots of tequila the entire night.
Well, we were doing like partial shots because it was really tasting. So we had everybody or some of the guests brought in tequila, and it was, I think there was 9 different varieties. Mm-hmm. So we each got to taste all the silvers and then the golds and then the mezcals.
Yeah.
Oof.
Añejo.
It's too smoky for my taste.
Yeah, some of them had that smoky taste, and it's like, yeah, it's like you're drinking a charcoal.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a nice time. Because I only drank like a like half shot or a little, you know, 3/5 of the shot. And we got to rate them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice doing those parties. Showed up with Casamigos. Casamigos.
Clooney tequila, as everybody seems to know it by.
Yeah.
When we showed up, it was like, hey, George Clooney's here. It's like, oh, I get it. Right. And so I got pretty drunk off of that. But I got to say, you know, those morning recovery shots that you can get at the impulse section over like at a BevMo or a 7-Eleven, they work. I recommend them. And they make a sugar-free version of that if you're not into the sugar stuff. You know, stock up on those if you're going to have an alcohol-filled night, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, we have incorporated kind of pacing ourselves throughout the night. So yeah, we're drinking, but we also like, I force you to drink water. I'm just like, okay, time for a water break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want you to feel hungover the next day or, you know, throw up at this party. So it actually like works when you force water into somebody's face and take the morning recovery before you go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
I mean, I'm just too old to feel shitty in the morning. Like, I want to have a good time, yes, but I also don't want to wake up hungover with the spins, throwing up all over the place. I think we're past that already.
Again, speak for yourself.
Shut
Seth.
The fuck up.
So we got a lot to talk about, a lot to fit into a 1 hour podcast, even though I think we're going to go over. But Comic-Con's been going down this weekend. A lot of announcements, mm-hmm. despite the strike, you know, there's not a whole lot of like videos on YouTube with, you know, the panels, because that's another reason why people go to Comic-Con, is to see the writers and the actors talk about their work. Or you're not going to get a whole lot of that this time around. So just a lot of like cool announcements by the studios, and stuff like that. So it's enough to take up a good chunk of this podcast. So you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Comic-Con 2023 in San Diego.
It was this weekend, July 20 through the 23rd. So it wraps up today as we record this. And if you follow the Foo Bar Show on Instagram, I have been posting a couple trailers that have been released over the weekend. One Piece was probably the biggest trailer release.
I didn't see that one coming, did you?
Have
there been like murmurs? If you're not a big One Piece fan.
A few months ago, via Josh, because he's totally obsessed with One Piece and every single week tries to get us to watch all 1,000+ episodes.
Not going to happen, Josh.
There was a trailer a little while ago that came out, but this longer, more official trailer came out over the weekend, and it just details more of the crew, what One Piece is all about, and it comes out August 31st.
Yeah, are you gonna play some of the trailer on that?
We can play some of the trailer for you.
Well, fame, power. I found everything this world has to offer. Free yourselves. Take to the seas. My treasure is yours to find.
So what do you say? Are you with me? Mutiny. Why would anyone want to be a pirate?
This is the best thing there is.
Wind in your back. Salt is here. Loyal crew by your side.
It's ready!
What is it?
Our Jolly Roger. We are.
The Straw Hat crew. We're heading up to the Grand Line.
a treacherous stretch of ocean with bigger islands, bigger pirates.
And that's where we're gonna find the One Piece.
You've been making enemies everywhere we go.
Chop, chop! Cannon!
It's a death!
Luffy, they are hunting you!
I saved your ass.
Well, I saved your ass.
You'll have to excuse them. They're idiots.
This crew, our crew, can handle anything.
I'll do you the kindness of killing you all together.
You're my captain from now until the end. I'm gonna kick your ass because no one messes with my friends.
What's so special about you?
I'm Monkey D. Luffy. And I'm gonna be king of the pirates. I didn't know there were so many pirates.
It's terrible.
I know, right? Where's my face?
Well, if I know Josh, and I don't, he came probably like five times during this entire trailer. And from according to Josh, he told us that the creator Eiichiro Oda oversaw all of the writing and production. And knowing that, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of compromises made with the studio and him if he wants to, you know, stay pretty close to the source material. Also, with it being released on Netflix, you got to imagine it's going to be something like the same type of tone that maybe Cowboy Bebop had when they did the live action version of that on Netflix.
Right, but
There was changes to that.
There were so many changes.
And, you know,
we've already complained about.
Not being a fan, or at least not having watched the cartoon version, the anime version of Cowboy Bebop, I liked the live action one just because of pure ignorance.
Right.
Yeah. So from somebody on the outside, I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear you guys. I hear you complaining. But y'all protest too much. But I get it. I get it. You know, when it happens with DC and Marvel movies and they make all these stupid changes, you know, yeah. I'm right there with you. So I get the frustration when something like that goes down. Yeah, we'll see how this goes. Maybe it'll get me into One Piece. Will I go back and watch the animated ones? No, I won't.
No.
But if it's pretty close to that source material, hey, I'm happy. I'm happy for everyone involved.
You know what? The only way we're really going to sit down and watch it is if Josh comes over and puts it on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which we do invest our time when we're watching it. We're just like, oh, okay. Like, I ask questions. What's happening here? Blah,
but
blah,
does
blah,
Josh like to watch it in Japanese with the subtitles, or does he watch it dubbed? Because I ain't...
Subbed.
I don't want to read.
I think it's subbed.
It's subtitled?
Right, because he watches it when it comes out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see? So see, now we're back to square one. Mm. Sorry, Josh.
Mm.
Not sorry. What else you got?
We're
not going to play all the trailers.
No, we're not going to play all the trailers.
I figured we'd play that one because, you know, based on everybody I know, a lot of people, at least here in Southern California that I associate with, they're not big fans of One Piece. They know, maybe some of them know of it, but... maybe this will expose way more people to it.
I think so. I mean, One Piece is huge in anime because it's been going on for
the longest running.
Yeah, 30
animanga.
Plus years.
Yeah,
and a manga, just manga.
Oh,
and manga is an event.
Oh, I was combining anime with mangas.
Yeah, it's okay.
Is it not though? Is it not an anime and a manga?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
All right.
You heard it here first. Everybody.
Just a quick rundown of things that came out, a couple of trailers. Harley Quinn is coming out July 27th.
What season is this?
Four.
Four?
Season four.
It seems like it's going to play more into Harley now turning into a good guy.
Yeah.
Good person. Good.
Yeah, and the trailer clearly shows her joining the Bat family.
Mm.
And Ivy is...
Legion of Doom.
Somehow with Lex Luthor again.
So yeah, it's like this Romeo and Juliet type of thing.
Where yeah.
They, yeah. But they're married.
With a secret romance.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. The Marvels trailer dropped, coming out November 10th.
That's going to be a bit campy, seems like, you don't think?
The Marvels?
Yeah.
I think it's going to play more to the comic book type rather than the like serious, darker Avenger.
Like the Captain Marvel movie?
Yeah.
That was rather serious. I mean, it had some funny parts, but it was very like, let's get down to business type of movie.
Right. Because you got Miss Marvel in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a kid, you know? Right. She's trying to find her way around.
And a pissed off kitty cat.
Mm-mm, don't mess with Goose.
No.
He's going to scratch your face right off. Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem comes out August 2.
You know, we just saw the Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You
movie.
Saw Rise.
You Ninja fell asleep. Turtle. I liked it a lot. The last, I only saw the first Michael Bay Turtles. I'll probably end up hate watching the other ones. Just to say I did, because ever since I've been a little kid, I've always loved the Ninja Turtles, even though they've, you know, they've dropped the ball a couple times, like, you know, Turtles in Time, a couple other things that they've done. But I really like the one that they made with, the Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That wasn't even on my radar. I think, where did we watch it on? Is it on Netflix or HBO? Nickelodeon is associated with who?
I think we watched it on
Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah.
We watched it on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's completely animated. So that's why it was just like, oh, we didn't even know.
And it had a chubby Splinter. And I think it was the first African-American April. And which is the case with this new one, the Mutant Mayhem. But now Splinter's not so chubby and April is.
Right.
So I wonder if it's going to follow that same timeline, if it's in the same kind of universe. No idea.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I understand that Seth Rogen is the one behind all of this.
Yeah, he is. So it should be good story-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Here's a little clip of it.
Leo putting on his mask. It's like the Spider-Verse kind of shit.
It's almost like that 2.5 feet.
It's all visual, I think.
They're all running through the rooftops and such.
It's like the show, like the cartoon back in the day. That's how they're running on the rooftops there.
Is across the street. We must use stealth and cunning to infiltrate the human world and retrieve Go-Gurt.
Go-Gurt.
Okay, Batman.
Dude, what? I'm just trying to hype you guys up.
Okay, that list. Okay, what else are we getting? 4 quarts of non-fat milk, ice cream, fruits and veggies,
They're going grocery shopping.
I like cheese puffs.
He was very specific about the party size. He underlined it twice.
All right, Donnie, you're on toiletries. Raph, you're stocking up the pantry. And Mikey, you're on junk food.
Yes, sir.
And remember, don't let any human see you, because why?
Humans are the demon scum of the earth. Avoid them. Don't say hi. They lust to murder that which is different from them.
To interact with them is to die.
And I know that's objectively prejudiced, but that's what Dad taught us.
I think humans seem kind of cool, to be honest. Beyonce.
Drake. That guy's the GOAT of all time.
I'd love to have a champagne brunch with Tom Brady.
Guy Fieri seems like a fun hang, and I've always wanted to go to Flavortown.
Look, we all think humans are cool. But we got a job to do.
Let's go!
Let's
go! Hey, I'm the leader of the group.
Leo.
You sound like you have bronchitis.
Nice.
So as you can tell from the trailer, they sound young.
They're teenagers.
But whenever I think about the Turtles, I always think about
The live action.
And they just seem so much
mature.
Mature, and they have adult voices, and they're taller. And
well, they had adult voices that were very playful in their vibe, like that surfer style, like Mikey, you had that surfer kind of like playful, so it was very youthful but not childish sounding.
Yeah.
So this one, these sound like kids. These sound like the kids from freaking what's that Netflix thing?
Stranger Things.
That's what it reminds me of.
Right? Because they're
kids.
At this point, you know, like it sounds like their voices are cracking. The youngest sounding one is Donnie. Yeah. Which is my favorite Toto. With the bow staff. Because, you know, he's a nerd. He's a science guy.
He's a giant nerd. and, you know, I really liked what they did. I know we're not talking about it for the most part, but the Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that I just saw on Netflix, I really like what they did with their own characters. I like how Mikey is like the most powerful one, and mm-hmm. I like how they've incorporated a lot of the mystic arts in their ninja skills, which made them actually have powers now. I like how I'm gonna spoil a few things. So spoiler alert, Leo is like, he becomes like the most powerful ninja on Earth. Mm-hmm. Raph was always known as the muscle, but they really made him fucking huge in him. Like he was the actual muscle in this.
He looked like a Hulk.
Yeah, he was compared to the rest of them. He was the big one. And Donnie was probably the most intelligent inventor on Earth.
Yeah. And that plays along with their mutation, which you don't really think about their mutation. You just think about them as talking turtles who happen to be ninjas. But in the comic books, it really dives into their mutation and how they kind of evolve with it as they get older. Mm-hmm. So I liked how they use that in the movies, mm-hmm. in that particular movie.
And the little time travel spin that they had in this, too, was fucking dope. Casey Jones is introduced differently. That movie, he's from the future, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, him joining the turtles at, you know, as they grow up. Now he joins them like when they're already adults.
Yeah.
And then and it briefly shows his mom in the present day, you know. It's like, oh, that's my mom on TV, you know, like kicking ass and shit.
Yeah.
So I suggest people watch that one. I based on this trailer that we just heard, I don't think that they're connected in any way, or maybe this is some kind of prequel. Wouldn't count on it. I think Seth Rogen is maybe trying to reboot. So we'll see, man. We'll mm-hmm. see. It mm-hmm. might give us like an origin scene, you know, of them becoming or getting into that ooze and all that stuff. So
maybe
I'm gonna watch this movie.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, and because we just signed up for this Regal Unlimited plan. For all the like, we can go see as many movies as we want for like $23 a month,
pretty much. Yeah,
at a Regal. So we're gonna watch Barbie later today. That's gonna be dope. Oppenheimer was part of the plan, but that shit sold out.
I know. We should have bought the tickets like weeks ago.
Yeah, but we're lazy.
But we're trying to watch it on the 70mm film or a screen
at the huge IMAX that we have here in Ontario Mills.
Yeah, like we talked about that on the previous episode.
Right,
and it's sold out. Like a lot of...
Unless you want to sit at the very front like some kind of psychopath.
No, that screen is just way too big to be that close. It's way too big to sit in the front. It's just way too big.
You're going to be like that Maxell commercial with a guy just leaning back and just being blasted.
That's so funny that you mentioned that, because I just watched a clip of fucking Jackass when they had that jetliner.
Oh, yeah.
Just blast him in the seat. And he's just like,
and he looks like the Maxell commercial, right? Yeah, Doesn't he have like a drink on the dresser or something like that?
Yeah, too? That dresser instantly disappeared as soon as they turned the engine on.
Yeah.
Oh my god, mm-hmm. I miss those Jackass movies. They're so funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, Turtles comes out August 2nd. Mm-hmm. Then we got
this was a nice surprise
trailer for Mortal Kombat 1.
The reboot.
And guess who's going to be in it? Who? None other than Omni-Man, Homelander, and Peacemaker.
Now, if they don't sound familiar, Omni-Man is a part of... he's the big bad and also the superhero in Invincible. If you haven't seen Invincible on Prime, you're missing out. Go check that out immediately.
Hell yeah.
Homelander is also from a show on Amazon Prime called The Boys that we've talked about on this show many, many times. go check that out. That's a spoof on a serious spoof too on DC and Marvel movies, kind of combining them all and really kind of like it's dark, it's funny, action packed, lots of gore, lots of sex. You'd love Homeland. If you listen to the show because of the shit that we talk about, you would love The Boys and Invincible. And then Peacemaker came out on HBO Max back when it was called HBO Max. you know, and that's part of the DC universe. And so,
yeah, Peacemaker and his team are just like the B team of DC.
Right.
Fucking watch it. All of these three characters from these three shows, just nothing but blood and action. So if you're into that, watch them.
And who's returning on Mortal Kombat 1 that we haven't seen in a little bit?
Quan Chi, Ermac, Takeda, Lee May, Tanya, and Baraka are all making a return. Mortal Kombat is releasing on PS5, Xbox, September 19th. However, Homelander won't be available until 2024.
As a playable character. Do you think he'll still be a character you can fight against? Probably, huh?
Yeah, probably. But I think they're going to release Omni-Man and Peacemaker prior to that.
Because Homelander is like, he's equivalent to Superman.
He is the one to beat.
Yeah. Which is funny because you would think that they would incorporate DC characters and they're choosing not to. I mean, with the exception of Peacemaker.
Well,
because,
oh no.
You know, Mortal Kombat and Warner Brothers are this, they work together. They're part of the same ownership.
Didn't Injustice incorporate Mortal Kombat characters?
Yeah.
Or was it the other way around?
Well, there is such a video game called DC versus Mortal Kombat.
That's right.
Yeah, like a Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah.
Pretty sick.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Invincible, the new season is coming out November 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on Amazon Prime, so can't wait for that.
Yeah, the storyline and the world building that they've done on Invincible is unmatched with anything else that I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I suggest people check that out once again. I can't speak more highly of that show than I already have.
And if you think that Invincible, like if you don't know anything about Invincible, it's actually been a comic book for a little while. And then they decided to, you know, bring it out into animation.
And that's a Robert Kirkman property, right?
Yeah.
Walking Dead.
Yes. Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Speaking of Walking Dead, all of the spinoffs. Did you know that there's a Daryl Dixon spinoff for Walking Dead?
I did. But, you know, it's I've been so out of the loop. I didn't really watch Beyond Season 1. I didn't watch Fear the Walking Dead. There was another one that came out also shortly thereafter that I saw like the first episode and I was like, nah, I'm good. But like somehow they're all connected now, at least.
Well, that was the whole plan, to connect them.
And that's what they did, but I just never watched them.
At some point, we saw some characters from the original Walking Dead series leave the show, and then they appeared in Fear the Walking Dead.
Right.
Like, for example, Morgan. Mm-hmm. He's the main guy.
Right.
And then they had their whole couple seasons for Fear the Walking Dead, and then there was something else. It was like an online series that they decided to bring out, and I can't remember what it's called.
It's okay.
But then there's the Daryl Dixon spinoff, which is getting renewed for season 2.
So this is just him living alone, probably in that period where he was living alone.
Right, where nobody found him. Mm-hmm. And
it was after, like, Daryl? After Andrew Lincoln left the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Negan and Maggie have their own spinoff, which is Dead City.
Mm-hmm. And they're working together.
They
reluctantly.
Are, right. So they are in Manhattan.
Oh, shit.
In Dead City with Maggie and Negan.
So now they're not even considering the comic books that were created for this show. They're doing their own thing.
Right.
And by all accounts, I mean, the Daryl Dixon show, that one, it got renewed for another season before the first one even was out. Is that the case?
Right. Well, no. It got renewed just recently. So the first season is ending right now.
Oh, so it's been out.
Yeah, it's been out.
My bad.
Okay, so Fear the Walking Dead is on its final season this year, mm-hmm. Which will be released in October.
Final season part one.
Final season part one.
Stupid Attack on Titan.
8 seasons of Fear the Walking Dead. Damn, I didn't even know there was 8 seasons.
Dude, I've only seen the first one. And right? Maybe like the first episode of the second, I think. But I'm not going to count it.
I would catch episodes here and there if it was just on, like randomly. Like if we were just channel surfing, it's like, okay, we'll just put this on for a second.
But I wouldn't know what the hell was going on, so I didn't really pay attention.
Right.
It was just the background sound.
But the biggest thing to happen in the Walking Dead universe is Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
Yeah.
Which none other than your boy Rick Grimes is coming back.
Now, this was supposed to be the 3 feature films that were supposed to have Andrew Lincoln do as Rick Grimes, and then the pandemic happened. And then now these 3 movies have morphed into a 6-episode limited series that may or may not have more than 1 season in it. Fuck. So we're going to get slapped in the face with more of this. Now, the reason a lot of people stopped watching was because Andrew Lincoln left. Is that fair?
Yeah, he left and then it just didn't really follow the comics. Like it had been doing season after season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the exception of a few added characters, obviously they're going to change it. But then he left and it was just like,
they were a little rudderless. What? Yeah. And I don't think that the creativity in what they chose to do in lieu of Rick Grimes was enough for people to stick around.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the original series ended with season 11. Which was a few years ago, and all that was left are the spinoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll see what happens. They're going to bring back with Michonne and Rick coming back for these limited series.
Now the AMC is like their baby is The Walking Dead. Like The Walking Dead is to AMC like Bugs Bunny is to Warner Brothers, like Mickey Mouse is to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like fucking SpongeBob is to Nickelodeon. Like they are the flagship characters. So I mean, if they lose Walking Dead,
that's it.
That's it for AMC. I mean, what else have they done? What have they done for me recently, Steph?
They have Interview with the Vampire, but that's been a couple seasons.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. They made that movie book into the movie, into the TV show now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard it's okay.
Okay.
I don't really hear anybody talking about it.
I mean, back in the day when Walking Dead was first coming up, we also had, what's that other show about the ad agency? Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
That was also, but you know, that came and went.
They had Mad Men and Breaking Bad was out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Better Call Saul, which, oh my God, it's fucking amazing. Just watch it.
But Walking Dead has outlived all of them. But with, and somehow with the same type of popularity, otherwise they wouldn't be making more, right?
Yeah, they're still making
it's like
a lot
full
of money.
Steam ahead with this shit. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's job security for these actors, I guess. But anyway, what else you got?
The last thing I wanted to bring up is Tiny Toons is making a comeback.
Tiny Toon Adventures.
Tiny Toon Adventures coming out on Max.
Buster and Babs Bunny, no relation, are back for more shenanigans.
More
and
shenanigans.
Tomfoolery and
yep.
Yeah, there they are.
Yeah.
So it's reminiscent of like Animaniacs.
Do you want to hear the new theme song? So they changed it for the...
Okay, yeah, the, yeah. I haven't heard the whole thing.
We're tiny, we're toony, we're learning to be loony, and we'll be famous soon at the college of our dreams. We got our admissions, and booked over tuition, fulfilling our ambitions with a faculty esteemed. Plucky is the perfect enemy. So here humans all got their humble start. There's quite a lot of history from teaching loony arts. We're tiny, we're teeny, we can't wait to be loony. Let the bell hunts come in and join the fun. And now class has begun.
Okay, well, I hope that they don't, like...
They're in college.
Yeah, they're a little older.
Acting but college.
I hope that they don't neuter them like they neutered Animaniacs. Where they... You no longer have... what is it? Mindy and Buttons in this Animaniacs revival. You no longer have a lot of, like, the old side characters from those, like, shorts that you would see on Animaniacs. It's just really Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. And that's it.
That's it? No, you have to have all those other side stories. Mm-hmm. That's what made it.
Yeah. It wasn't just... And then, you know, in the middle of those stories, you would have Animaniacs running through it.
Yeah. Briefly. That's the whole point. Because they're still... They're on the lot. They're trying to run away from the security car.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway. I don't know when this comes out. When does it come out?
Does it say... Maybe look towards the bottom there. This is Outstanding Pod. This is actually why people tune in for this kind of silence.
Yes.
So everybody.
I know you do.
All right. Who cares? You'll see it out soon because they're not telling us on this article.
Nope.
Thanks a lot, comicbook.com.
Comicbook.com strikes again.
Is that it? Is all you got?
That is it for trailers. And finally, the one last thing, because Josh is going to explode when he finds out about this, if he hasn't already found out about it.
Uh-huh.
There is a Comic-Con exclusive. So they always have, like, exclusive pens, exclusive box sets, but this one in particular is the DC, the Flash movie, 24-karat gold slide-open replica ring.
Yeah, so like in the movie of The Flash, when he puts on that ring, that turns, that gives him his suit. His suit is in there.
Yeah.
And
the suit is not in this one, but the ring opens up to reveal the lightning bolt symbol, and it's 24 karat gold.
It's $100.
$100, which is not bad for any nerd, good can,
yeah, any gold collector. Ring. Yeah.
It comes in sizes 9 through 12.
Oh, okay. So I can actually wear this.
So
thing.
You can wear it.
Oh, wow. In public.
Yeah. So what kind of ring is that?
It's The Flash.
It's The Flash.
Yeah. Dope. Well, good.
Yeah. So I wanted to point out, if you know, Josh, go get it.
Just, you know you
just
want it.
Just buy it.
Yeah. You know you want it.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's it. We couldn't get into Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con this year. We really did try. I had Christine on the computers. I was on my phone. I was on another computer at work, and we just didn't get selected this time.
Yeah. And it probably would have been cool, too, because based on what I'm hearing, there was a lot of people there, but not so jam-packed as previous years because of the writer's strike.
Yeah. We didn't know that was going to happen. Mm. And the tickets went on sale around February, which I think was right around when the strike was kind of like in talks. It didn't officially happen yet.
Yeah.
But for the writer's strike, actors are now striking, which is why they are not doing panels anymore. They're just not making appearances. Yeah. They're not doing interviews.
It's like Hall H is rather quiet.
Yeah. So they were just releasing trailers at that point. Yeah. There was still a lot of stuff to do because you still have artists and creators with their prints and their collectibles, toys, yeah, knickknacks, things like that. I'm still trying to sell and, you know, get their names out there, authors and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully they resolve this negotiation soon. And we can start seeing things come out again, seeing actors finish their roles. A lot of productions have stopped as well, like Deadpool, Wolverine, or Deadpool 3. They stopped acting because they're on strike with the writers.
Yeah, we'll see how long this takes. I mean, in the meantime, this will give us a little bit of a breather to actually catch up on a lot of the series and movies that we haven't yet seen.
Yeah.
So not for nothing, at least from a consumer's perspective. But it is a little sad to see that that the production companies are being greedy as all hell right now and not paying the writers and actors. And I'm not talking about the rich motherfuckers. I'm talking about like your background actors, your character actors, the ones that are like really sort of living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that this is really about. And same thing with like the UPS strike that seems pretty imminent at this point. You know, we're not talking about the drivers that have been tenured and are making like close to $40 an hour. We're talking about like the customer service people or the people in the warehouses that are earning somewhat close to like minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about, you know, the people that we know and see, the household names. It's not about them. It's about, you know, people like you and me who are really just trying to make ends meet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, some recognition would be nice.
Yeah. But at the very least, with a paycheck.
With a paycheck. With a paycheck definitely.
That would keep you going. So, you know, more power to them. I hope that this gets settled soon, and it doesn't seem like it's going to. So that's a little sad. But, you know, if you see them out with their signs, give them a little honk. If you have any opportunity to contribute to their funding, strike funding, the actors and writers funding, if you can, do it.
Yeah, because they're now all unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are such funds to keep them at least funded.
Right.
And paid while they are on strike. So let's see what we can do in the meantime. But aside from that, I think that's going to do it for Geeking Out.
That's right.
Nerd! And let's put a bow on this with some music highlights. So just some quick mentions, not all positive. In fact, I don't think any of these are. But I don't know if you've heard, Steph, but Anti-Flag, they announced their breakup following a possible rape accusation against their frontman. Now, we just saw them last year as a part of the Punk in the Park Fest. They were on that lineup. That was probably the third time I ever saw Anti-Flag. Not a huge fan. You know, there was something... they were trying to be Rage Against the Machine without being Rage Against the Machine, I think, coming from a... they were trying to do it from a punk perspective. Hmm. They've been around much longer than Rage. But here, let me... this is something I got off of StereoGum.com. Last night, and let's see, when was this published? This was published July 20th, so... on July 19th, the long-running political punk band announced on Patreon that they had disbanded. The breakup is sudden. The band was on tour in Europe, and they were scheduled to play in Prague. The announcement includes very little context, and here it is in full. It said, Anti-Flag has disbanded. The Patreon has been switched into a mode where it will no longer charge the monthly fee. I will begin to process refunds to all patrons in the coming weeks. Once all refunds are processed, the Patreon page will also be removed. The band's website and their social media pages have all been removed. This leaves a lot of questions unanswered. And on Reddit, fans pointed out that that there was a podcast episode that went live recently. And the podcast is called Enough. It's a podcast dedicated to sexual assault in the music business. And a woman went on that podcast to tell a story about being raped by the singer in a political punk band. She never names the band or the singer, but it's hard to hear that story, apparently, without connecting those dots. The story is extremely upsetting, both in its details and in the sense of betrayal that surrounds it. So Justin Giever, who goes by the stage name Justin Sane, started the first version of Anti-Flag in Pittsburgh in 1988. The band released their demo in 1992 and their first debut album, Die for the Government, in 1996. That's the one that people still kind of reference when they think of Anti-Flag. Mm-hmm. They've had different iterations since then, but, you know, they still play a lot of songs from that album, as we saw when we saw them last year. Over the decades, they became hugely popular, moving to Fat Rec Chords. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Fat Records, Fat Rec Chords.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then they went to RCA in the mid-2000s. The band has remained active in recent years, and they released the most recent album, Lies They Tell Our Children, earlier this year. So they've always been pushing that left-wing kind of political cause, and now hearing about, you know, the front man having rape accusations on him it really kind of makes them rather hypocritical. If that, I mean, if it's true, allegedly.
Right. We don't, she didn't mention it, like they said, but it was as oddly suspicious because all of a sudden, anti-flag, everything just disappeared.
Everything.
Everything.
So there's, I mean, something leads me to believe that there's validity to the claim.
Yeah, well,
or they live by their own creed and they're just like, we're not about this, and if people think that we are no longer a band.
Oh,
you know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah,
it's like we are no longer relevant to what we've been spewing for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So who knows, we probably will never know unless there's some kind of court thing that gets hashed out and becomes public. But I wonder what's going to happen with the band members. I mean, you know, we can let go of the lead singer, but you know, there are other musicians and people who work for them that are now unemployed.
Yeah. And then you got to think about, like, they were already on tour. So what's going to happen to the rest of the band members? Like, are they going to get paid out? Are they not going to get paid out? Probably not. And how much of, if this is true, how much of it did they know about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. So I we'll probably never know.
But yeah. So. Just from the silence that came from Anti-Flag, just eliminating themselves from the internet.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
oddly suspicious, but somewhat, I don't know, that we'll never know. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
Until somebody makes some kind of unauthorized documentary down the line about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knows? The next thing I wanted to talk about is that your boys, Steph, your boys in Creed are going to play their first show in 12 years.
I fucking called it. We were talking about this like randomly the other day, and I started noticing like people started posting like Creed stuff on the internet, and I'm just like, is Creed going to get back together? Mm. And so, like, we looked it up online. I was like, no, Scott Stapp has some stuff, but not Creed.
Right.
But is Creed getting back together? And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, Creed's back. They're back, baby, if you're into that kind of thing. They're going to be going on a cruise. So they're having a cruise festival happening April 18th to the 22nd of 2024, going from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas. They're calling it the Summer of 99 Cruise. They're going to have very special guests. Very special guests. Mm. And this is all on brand with these types of... This breed of cat, this entire breed of cat, you know, there's going to be a lot of flat bills. There's going to be a lot of American flags. There's going to probably be a lot of MAGA hats on this cruise.
Oh, my God.
But very special guests, Three Doors Down,
wow.
Buck Cherry, Tonic, Vertical Horizon. And this is what got me. I didn't see this one coming. Fuel. I like them.
I do too.
They were actually
Why?
The Verve Pipe. They sing that song Freshman.
Yeah, yeah.
Tantric. That now they're a little bit more like the Buck Cherries and the Creed, at least when it comes to like genre styles. Dishwalla. I see them sonically. Yes, they belong there, but in culture, I don't see them belonging there. Louise Post of Veruca Salt. Yeah, and this one caught me way off guard. 9 days. They sing that song, Absolutely, Story of a Girl.
Why is 9 days on this bill?
I mean, they need work, I guess. So they're on this tour with, man, I just see the wraparound sunglasses, the flat bills, the cargo shorts,
the
Pabst Blue Ribbons.
The muscle shirts.
Yeah.
With the pot bellies.
Right. Right.
Super stereotypical, but it's not only the flat bills and the sunglasses, but the flat bills are turned around and the sunglasses are on the back, and it's going to be sunny out there, so they're going to put their hand over their eyes to shield themselves from the sun when they have a hat and sunglasses that's already on the top of their head facing
that's
the other way.
That's the breed of cat that's going to be fostering and housing. You know, maybe, you know, Creed, if there is a god... Maybe the ship will sink. Maybe. I don't want 9 days to sink, though.
No, I kinda like, you know them. What? I didn't have a problem with Creed. It's just when they came out and they got really popular, it was just looped over and over and over again. And I I couldn't stand it anymore. And it's just like,
well, they were,
stop it.
To a lot of people, they were a Pearl Jam ripoff. Because Scott Stapp, his voice is reminiscent of Eddie Vedder's.
Right, but he's not trying to sound that.
Sounded like it did.
Really?
Sounded like it did. And matter of fact, you know who called him out? Was your boy in Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst. He is a Pearl Jam fan, believe it or not. And he blamed Scott Stapp for trying to sound too much like Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam.
Really? And I never noticed that. I never got that. I thought that was just the way he sung.
Well, yes, that is his voice, but I think the inflections on some of his, how he projects and things like that, there's a lot of parallels. Nevertheless, they're back.
I remember watching this interview on MTV with Creed, and I was just like, oh, Creed's kind of like fooling themselves, because Scott Stapp was like so excited to sign his first record label with the band. Do you remember this story?
No.
So they had, I think, signed it in like blood or some sort of, like, they had blood in the ink or something like that.
Yeah.
And
I believe it.
They could not fulfill the contract. They had to re-sign it because it's not in black ink.
It was in red ink.
It was, yeah.
It was, we can't it sign was, it yeah. in red.
It's like, oh, and so we had to like re-sign it. It was like, ugh.
That only works for Satan. Paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Christian man.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
I would say probably the best Christian band out there. I mean, they had some bops. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. Some of their music is listenable. A lot of it is listenable. They make good music. Now, the lyrics the culture that they attracted from that is not something I'm into. But yeah, throw on a fucking Creed album and you can appreciate the sonically the music. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But
it definitely brings you back to a different time.
Yeah. Those early 2000s were something else when you were listening to all these bands. Except for Buckcherry. They came out later.
I'm not a fan of a lot of these bands.
It's gonna be a lot of Ed Hardy, a lot of True Religion jeans.
I mean, we've heard like the music from all these bands before, but I don't know. I would not go to a concert. It's just not my thing. Like to spend a whole cruise.
Yeah.
Pass.
Like, where's the Insane Clown Posse?
That they wouldn't fit this bill.
I
they
know, would but not. it's the other side of the same coin, don't you think?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know too much about that.
The other side of this coin is Insane Clown Posse, Limp Bizkit, and everybody associated with those two on the left side of the spectrum. These guys are on the right side of the spectrum.
Mm.
Except for 9 days. I really didn't get that. What's
9 days doing in there?
I don't know what they're doing in there. I guess they just needed, they needed somebody to, they needed an opener. Poor bastards.
Hosted by Eddie Trunk?
Yeah, and the Power Hour, Matt Pinfield, Katie Babbs, and John Bernstein. Those are new names to me. Maybe I should know who they are, but I don't. But for those listening, if you're into this kind of shit, by all means, it's happening in April. I wonder if that's the same weekend as Coachella, because Coachella tends to happen like in the tail end of April, and maybe on week. And on the second weekend of Coachella, this is going down. So, anywho, while you look for that, I'm moving on. It's probably going to pop up right now, isn't it? April 12th to the 14th, and then the following weekend. So, no, this is after Coachella. If you still have some money left over,
April, you can still
hit this up. 20, yeah. It's happening. Oh, no, they're taking market share from Stagecoach then. That's the same asshole going. Anyway, all right, I'm talking way too much shit. Last but not least, Steph, the 1975 had to cancel some shows following Malaysian festival controversy. So they're on tour right now, and they were at the Good Vibes Festival in Kuala Lumpur. And their set there on Friday was cut short after Matt Healy protested Malaysia's anti-LGBT laws by making out with his bandmate and giving a speech about the political situation in that country. If there's something that people don't like is a foreigner coming in and talking shit about their country, whether or not they like or align themselves with their sense of where they stand on things. But he did. And the rest of the festival was then canceled by the government. The next stops on the 1975 tour were in Indonesia and Taiwan, and on Sunday and Tuesday, respectively. But both of those shows have been canceled for obvious reasons because, you know, they share the same kind of sentiment with anti-LGBT stuff.
Right.
So I got a quote here. The band never takes the decision to cancel a show lightly and had been eagerly looking forward to playing for fans in Jakarta and Taipei. But unfortunately, due to current circumstances, it's impossible to proceed with the scheduled shows. Thank you for your understanding and continued support. So it seems like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they let themselves be canceled because that's who they are. I mean, if they're going to stand by their beliefs, they gotta be okay with not getting a paycheck for doing those shows.
Not only that, but you never have a relationship with another band member.
I don't think that they have I don't think that they're together.
No.
Matt Healy he was just with Taylor Swift like a few months ago. They broke up recently.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Man, she gets around.
I mean, she needs material to write these songs.
Is she still doing that?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I stopped listening a long time ago.
Yep.
Yeah. I am like super scared of all those Asian countries because they're so strict with foreigners. Like, keep your head down, mouth shut.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just that's just
the Eastern world for you.
Yeah. That's just me. And like fucking Philippines. Not right now.
Oh, they still have that president that's like a fascist?
No, his presidency ended. There's another one.
You got another asshole in there? Same shit, different day?
Let me just put it this way. My mom left the Philippines to come to America because of the political climate in the Philippines. And
that was 36 years ago plus?
And then now the next generation of the family who was president when she was still there is in office. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, so same shit, different day.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I heard the other day that there's more Filipinos outside of the Philippines
than in the Philippines.
Yeah. And I think the same goes for Irish people and Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
they're just spread out.
Just spread out. Yeah. A lot of them left a long time ago.
They're like, fuck this. A little more power to them. Anyway, that's going to do it for music highlights and the show. So what do you think, Steph? How many more of these do we got till the hiatus? Now, be honest now.
One, maybe two. Yes.
Can we say one for sure, at least?
One for sure.
Uh-huh. Will you start school when?
The 14th.
The 14th.
So we have...
But there's prep that you need to do. Yes.
I mean, not really.
Oh, okay.
I just need to show up.
Yeah, we might be able to do two then. Okay. Yeah,
one, maybe two.
All right. And then we'll probably have some one-offs here and there for the rest of the year with bands and artists coming in for just brief interviews. And it'll just be like a music highlights, really.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect us to do this regularly for the rest of 2023. 2024 may end up being the same type of thing. We'll just have to see what happens with your schedule.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I for sure...
We're not disbanding. We're not canceling the Foo Bar show. There's just going to be less of it.
Right.
Yeah. You'll see us more on Instagram, if anything.
Definitely follow us on Instagram. That's where we post most of our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really do Facebook. YouTube, you're going to get... only the video from our pods when we do the pods. So, you know,
follow Instagram.
Instagram is going to be your best bet.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Steph, anything else?
I think that'll do it.
Alrighty then. Well, thank you all so very much for listening into the Foo Bar Show, and a special thanks to you foos who subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow foos. Remember to pick up some swag at foobarshow.com. That's foobarshow.com, and follow foobarshow on all of our socials, and we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. I've been Josie.
Now Steph.
Signing off, saying, don't be a dick.
Fuck, man. Thank you, guys. Smoke weed every day.